Thank you so much for the welcome you've given us. Thank you for that worship, and I don't know how I follow that last song. You know, I don't know about you, but if you are like me, then I know that there are so many times when I let God down. And this is off script, I tell you. But there are so many times when I think, God, why do you bother about me? Why do you even want me to be part of what you want to do in this world? Do you know, if I was God, I wouldn't use me. And yet for some very strange reason, he not only wants to use me, but he wants to use every single person in this church this morning. Because it's part of what this wonderful God does. I'm sure he could do it so much better on his own. But he says, no, I'm going to use you, and you, and you, and you, and me. And that, to me, is what this is all about. So thank you for your welcome to us. Thank you for a wonderful day yesterday. Our God is good. Well, I want to pose a simple question for you today. Simple, but actually, it's massive. What kind of church does Jesus seek for people with learning disabilities? Now, I have this wonderful job, this job that I never wanted. Now, I'll feed that in as we go through this morning. But you see, can we take out this bit about learning disabilities? Is that all right? Because although that's the hat I wear, although that's the organisation that I work for that seeks to reach out and touch lives of people with learning disabilities, I believe the Church of Jesus Christ should be a place where whoever walks through the doors is accepted and loved and cared for. It's also the place where we can be forgiven and set free. And that isn't about who we are. It's about this great God who loves us so much. This is a passage from Corinthians, and it's found in the New Living Translation. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. How differently I think about him now. What did I say? I had the job I never wanted. If anybody had told me 13 years ago that I would be working in a charity that worked with and for adults with learning disabilities, I'd have said, don't be silly. And to my shame, I have to tell you, it was because I was scared stiff. What do you say? What do you do? What happens if somebody can't talk to you? What happens if they have strange behaviour? No, thank you very much. We have a group in our church, and it's been my ex-church, and it's been going 16 years now? 17 years. I was in church leadership. I encouraged and supported those that wanted to start it. But was I going to be involved in it? No, thank you very much. Oh, I do the good bit. I turn up at Christmas, and then I disappear quickly. Dear friend of mine, also in church leadership, used to go and lead worship for prospects at Spring Harvest. And one year, Johnny Erickson Tada, the American paraplegic, a Christian lady, she's in a wheelchair. She was speaking at Spring Harvest, and she came along to the prospects meetings. And there's my dear friend leading worship, and Tony Phelps Jones, the director, leading those meetings. And Johnny said to Tony, if you had more money, what would you do? And he said, well, it's quite easy. I'd employ somebody else. Because 13 years ago, it was just Tony. And over a little period of time, backwards and forwards in emails across the Atlantic, she said that if Tony could raise 50% of a year's salary with all the add-ons in 2 weeks, he could have the other 50%. So Tony sent an appeal letter out. And in 10 days, in 10 days, more than half arrived. My friend was being made redundant. And so Tony said, "Why don't you apply for the job?" And he said, "No, it's not for me." He said, "I know a man who can do it, he's not available and he won't want it." So of course you can imagine, he came and told me the story and I went, "You mean me?" And he said, "Yes I do," and I went, "No, thank you." 5 weeks later I was made redundant. My friend goes, "There you go." And I very arrogantly said, "If God wants me to do it, he's going to have to make it much clearer." Oh dear. Never ever throw out a challenge to God that you're not willing to actually be part of the answer. 5 days later, Christianity Renewal magazine, as it was then, dropped through the letterbox. And there's the advert. I probably ought to tell you that it's the only time before or since that the charity has ever advertised a job in that magazine. And I read it and went, "Okay, God, I give in." But will I never learn? But you're going to have to change this, because I really don't get it. You're going to have to change this, because unless you give me a heart that is for people, really for people, then I can't do it. Oh, and by the way, a few gifts wouldn't go amiss either. And do you know what? 12 years ago this month, I started the most wonderful job I've had in my life. Please do not think that I have done it easily. But I do know that I have a God who has not only changed my head, he's changed my heart. And boy, has he given me some gifts. And it has to be the best job I have had in my life, and if only I'd given in earlier. But you know, there may be things that you think, "I couldn't do that." There may be things that you're thinking, "God wouldn't ask me to do that." I want to throw out a challenge and say to you, ask him if that's what you should be doing. It's not that I believe God gives us things that he doesn't want us to do. Because actually I believe I could have walked away. But I'm glad I didn't. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks of them. You see, the trouble is, the world often has ostracized people with learning disabilities. Years ago, we used to put them away in hospitals. Today, we often push them away. I found myself jumped yesterday when suddenly somebody with quite a profound learning disability in a shopping area where suddenly did something up when I jumped. I live and work with people all the time. We're still human beings. We still find different things strange. But we need to love the people. And the world so often and the church so often has pushed people away. What are we going to do that will make a difference? I wonder if we could have the 2 video clips, please. There are 1.5 million people with learning disabilities in the United Kingdom, created in the image of God. Imagine what it's like if you don't understand the things that we say and the way that we do them. Concentration spans are short. It may be that they cannot read. They struggle perhaps with being with lots of people. How do we get churches to be a place where whoever walks through the door can understand and can grasp the fact that Jesus is for them too?
What's his name?
Zebedee.
Zebedee.
There are things that you can do both as a church as a whole, but also in small groups. Simple worship songs, simple sermons, down to earth, language that we use every day that tell the message.
trying to catch.
Repetition is helpful. Saying the same thing or doing the same thing in different ways.
Certainly shorter sentences.
Shorter, yes.
Yeah. We have training days to help people to understand how we can still be deeply profound in what we're sharing of our faith, but in a way that anybody can understand. We have over 200 churches now who actually have groups or a desire to reach out and touch the lives of people with learning disability.
They were fishing in the lake with a net.
People with learning disabilities have gifts that the Holy Spirit gives them, just like the rest of us, and can make a difference in the life of the church. What we would really love is that churches engage with the whole idea of being accessible to whoever, where we can be open and accepting and we'll begin to touch the lives of people that haven't really been touched before.
Stop. But the next video, if it comes up, is actually about a family.
I was immediately impressed with the atmosphere, really, in the house. I think it was the calmness and the peace, and being Christians, that's what we wanted for Abigail. So I said, yes, that'd be great, and they said, fine. But when they said straight away, I said, oh, we'll have to think about that. And I think our decision was pushed forward because Ron had to have an operation on his knee and I had arthritis in my back. So it got to the stage where neither of us could put her boots on, and we began to realise, I think it's going to have to be sooner than we thought.
When Abigail made the initial move to kind of come into Prospects, the fact that Prospects was a Christian organisation meant that we instantly had a common language with the people that we were negotiating or linking with, so you could easily talk about prayer and the need to have a real sense of the will of God as to what was happening. And emotionally it was an enormous wrench, because I think all the instinctive protective things that a parent has for a child are enhanced by a factor of I don't know quite what for when the child has profound learning disabilities. You have been the guardian, and to pass that on in any sense, that's quite an emotional journey. But the fact that the Prospects people understood it, were praying for us and we for them, and that there was a sense right from the very beginning that this was not being imposed upon us, but that this was a joint decision we were making together, which was a real comfort to us. It was still difficult at times, but that was a real comfort to us.
Excuse me, it's gratefulness. I'm not sort of upset in the wrong way, but, you know, you are grateful when these things work out.
I mean, if you saw her now, she comes home every Saturday, and when I take her back on the Saturday, the eagerness with which she's received by the staff and the way that she kind of immediately nestles in for a big hug is very reassuring. It's home. It's home. She just has two homes. That's it. We've not lost her.
I remember saying to the Lord that if she cries, I wasn't going to let her go. And she's never cried. And when we take her back, she's really happy. Please don't film.
We said that it took Abigail about 10 days to settle in, and Margaret about 10 years.
I should have warned you to get your handkerchiefs ready, shouldn't I? But that's what Prospects is about. It's about working with churches, supporting them in how they reach out and touch the lives of people so that they too can get to know Jesus. But it's about the whole person. So we also provide support in homes. And actually you probably know of At Home in the Community in Newcastle. And that is now part of Prospects. We actually merged with them about 18 months ago, but they have a slightly different ethos from us. So they're part of us, but keeping their own branding. But that's what it is all about. An organisation which values and supports people with learning disabilities so that they live their lives to the full. Isn't that what we all want? To be able to do the things that we can do in the best way possible. And that's true for everybody. What does the Bible have to say, though? Actually, it's not just about disability, as I said earlier. This is about everybody. Every single one of us. Created in the image of God. Genesis very clearly says that we are created in God's image, every one of us. It also says, and we've had it already, but in a different version, fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you? When you got up this morning and looked in the mirror, my wife's going to groan because she's heard me say this so many times. When you looked in the mirror, what did you think when you got up this morning? Fearfully and wonderfully made? Or, oh my goodness, where did that come from? But you know, the psalmist got it. Fearfully and wonderfully made. We're incredible. What it does to make up this body, to enable us to be what we are. But God knew all about it. People for whom Jesus died. John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you really believe in him? You know, we can know about him. We can know about this Jesus, and we can know that, yeah, he died on a cross. He did wonderful things. But do you know him for yourself? Do you know him here? Because we can know an awful lot about Jesus, but still not know him. Have a relationship with him. And that's that relationship that I want for everybody. One of the thrills I have is speaking to people with learning disabilities and helping them to understand that, do you know what? Jesus died for you as well. That whoever we are can have a relationship with this living God because of Jesus. People with learning disabilities are also can be part of the body of Christ. You heard me say it on that video link. If a person is a Christian, they have gifts. What are the gifts there for? For the building up and the encouragement of the church. Now here's a challenge for the leadership team. They'll love this one. What are you all doing? The rest of you aren't the leadership team. Because every single one of you have a part to play in what happens here. Says it up there. Do you know, I was reading it earlier. The priesthood of all believers. Anyone who is born of the Spirit of God. Anyone who has a relationship with Jesus Christ has gifts. And those are gifts that are to be shared all amongst you. Boy, would this place be even more dynamic if everyone got behind that. What a difference it would make. But all are equal. In Corinthians, it talks about us being neither slave nor free. Do you know, thank goodness that God doesn't look at the clothes that we wear, the house that we live in, the job that we have. He just looks at you and looks at me and says, do you know what? You're all the same to me. Sorry, Paul. You may be the senior pastor. But we're all equal. In God's eye, we have different roles, we have different giftings, we have different things that we do. Do you know what? That should excite us. That none of us are redundant. None of us don't have a job to do. Every single one of us has things that we can do to transform this body, this church of Jesus Christ here, and all those that live around. You and I have a job to do. But what are we doing about it as a charity? We're equipping churches, we're training, we're supporting ministry-based groups like this one. Can I just say, I said it yesterday, but if this church partners with us, the group does not belong to Prospects, all right? It's not ours. It's part of the ministry of this church. We're just there to help, to support, to encourage. It's part of what happens here. We're developing materials, information, and there's a lot of stuff over on the table there. Raising awareness, like this morning, because there may be a group that starts here, but you know what? You're all part of it. You may think, well, that's not my job. Well, no, it may not be. But you can pray. You can support. You can affirm. You can encourage. You can build up those that are doing it. But actually, hold on a minute. Should you be involved? Is there something that you could do? There's always something that each one of us can do. But we also work with families, churches, local authorities. And do you know what? That's not easy as a Christian organisation anymore. Prospects as a whole only employ Christians. It's taken us into court once already. Because there are those who would say we shouldn't be allowed to just employ Christians. Please pray for us. Because those that took us to court last time have made it very, very clear they're going to take us there again. Because they don't want us to do what we do. Hey, the problem with church, where shall we start, hey? Where's physical access? So often it's, are there too many steps? Oh my goodness, sorry. But steps don't help, do they? Book culture. Do you know, all you've been seeing up there is loads of words. What happens if you can't read? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have words up there. But for many, people can't read. And that isn't about people with learning disabilities necessarily. There are many who can't read. Difficult technical language. Sanctification, transgression, redemption. And as we said yesterday, did you worship your potentate this morning? What does ineffably sublime mean? Rolling spheres, are they snooker balls? All hail the Lamb? Oh my goodness. But abstract concepts like forgiveness and Trinity. You know, the church is full of these wonderful words, and do you know what? I don't want to lose them. Hear me. I'm not saying we jettison, we throw out all of those things. But we need to help people to understand. We make assumptions. And it may be that you're a visitor here today and you've walked in and you've heard us using words and you think, what was that? Forgive us. We're very good at doing that. Come and challenge us. Come and say, what did you say? What does that mean? And we need to be gracious enough to say, not, oh, didn't you know that? But actually, what it means is this. Better still, we can explain it as we go along. Concentration spans. Guys, you're doing well. We're nearly there. Keep our conversation down to earth, real. Speak from the heart. Don't get all complicated. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Prayer, use ordinary language. I still get people that get upset when I say that. They seem to think that we should be still speaking in Victorian language with the these and thous. But do we speak to each other like that? Actually, I tell you what, God doesn't speak to me like that. Actually, Christine had a trouble a few years back. She was involved as a volunteer in doing a challenge for the charity and raising money. And she was getting people, adults with learning disabilities and others, to climb the highest mountain peak in southern Spain. And suddenly she felt God challenging her for her 50th birthday to go and climb with them. She didn't want to go there. She used to say then that the only gym she went to was pushing the trolley around Sainsbury's. But actually God challenged her about going. But then she had a dream. And in the dream she heard God say, okay. Well, it can't have been God. It'll be okay, just keep going. But it can't be God because he wouldn't say okay. God speaks to us in our language. He speaks to us so we can understand. Am I glad about that? Keep things simple. You know, by saying simple, I don't mean dumbed down. Some of the most deep and meaningful meetings that I've ever been to have been geared directly for people with learning disabilities. It's been simple, but I've learned so much about God. I used to preach for many years and teach in my church, my last church, on grace. And I've often said I've learned more about grace from people with learning disabilities than I ever taught. Because they've given that grace back to me in so many ways and make our worship accessible. Guys, the worship was great, but do you know what? There are some other things that you could do. I'll talk to you later. If you want to. But there are things that can make it even more accessible. So whoever comes through the door, what more can we do? Verbal reminders. Repetition is good. Repetition helps all of us. A sermon summary, and I must remember to give you one before I finish. Just a few sentences that sum up all that's gone before. Sit with people. Are you sitting with the same people you always sit with? Yeah, probably. Because most of the time we do that. Why not go and sit with somebody different for a change? Make them feel welcome, part of what's going on. Support people with Bible notes or CDs. We have daily Bible reading notes and we have CD versions of them. Why? Because not everybody can read. So it's a way you can help. But sit and help people to get into the Word of God. Raise awareness as we're doing now. What about drama? What about instead of having a sermon, having a drama? Christy and I have had some great fun doing this. Lovely church in South Wales. We'd done a training day on the Saturday and they asked us just to do the service on the Sunday. It's a typical preacher. I moved all the furniture and we had 13 chairs across the front. One at the front and the rest in pairs. And we had Jesus falling asleep in the storm. And I said to the whole congregation, this is not for the children. Sorry, kids. This is for everybody. So kids, would you hold back, please? Because it's the first we need Jesus. And we had this lovely guy in his 80s who could barely walk, came from the back of the church. I thought he was never going to get to the front. And he sat in the chair. And then whenever I'm narrating, I will put something over me that just shows that I'm being different. And I start telling this wonderful story of Jesus and how he fell asleep in the boat in the storm. And when I, at the top of my voice, said, Jesus stood in the back of the boat and said, be still. Eric stands up. And Eric goes, be still. And starts prophesying to the church. And he's looking at me. The last time this man stood up in the front of the church was 30 years before. He never does it. God gave him a word for the church at that moment. It's awesome. Oh, by the way, there was also a little guy with ADHD. Attention deficit. And I have a thunder tube. It makes a great noise. And I said to him, would you like this? You can only make the noise when I tell you to. All right? Only when I say you can. Do you know what he did? And we had flags and we had sheets and we had a storm and we had noise. And God spoke to every single person in that church that morning. Did we have a sermon? Hey, yes. Because God's word was spoken into people's lives. What do we do? There are 212 churches now around the UK. 70 places where we support people in England, Wales and Northern Ireland. And we're at major celebration events. Keswick, Spring Harvest, New Word Alive. Word Alive again this year. We'll be there. But just a couple more bits as we close. There are 1 in 10 families that are affected by loneliness. I was shocked when I heard that. But 1 in 10. Families often struggle. And if you're a family who's involved in that, you will know much of that struggle. Can often feel isolated, neglected, feel even rejected. And you think, no, surely not. No, I know people who felt rejected by the church. Does church really care about us? Visit, care, take a meal round. Just be with people and encouragement, each and every one. What did I say at the beginning? So we've stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. What do you think about people with learning disabilities? What do you think about those who perhaps seem a little bit different from you, from me? May God do a work in your heart and your mind like he did with mine. To say, these are my children. I've created them. I love them to bits. Will you love them too? And then it says, once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. How differently I think about him now. That's what this is all about, really. What do we think about Jesus? What do you think about him today? If you're young, if you're older, has Jesus got a place in your heart? Do you allow him to challenge you as to the things that are around? Have you said yes to him, that you go and you'll do whatever he calls you to do? This isn't just about prospects. It's not about people with learning disabilities. It's what is his call on my life? What's his call on yours? Might it be today that you say yes to Jesus and to all that he would have for us? What's the gospel message? Through Christ, God made peace between himself and God gave us the work of bringing people into peace with him. What a wonderful passage. What a wonderful challenge for each and every one of us. What kind of church does Jesus want? For people. For people. It's a church that's welcoming. A church that is loving. A church that will point people to Jesus. And a place where they will help people grow and be discipled to know Jesus better. We're going to sing a song as we close. You may have another song as well, and you may want to sing it, but fine. I'm going to teach you one. Is that all right? Those of you who are on the training day, yes, you will know this, but this is the heart of what this is all about. And we're going to sign. Makaton signing. It's simple keyword signing. It's the Father himself loves you. Come on, join in with me. I'll be lonely otherwise. The Father himself loves you. 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 Can I challenge you? Turn round and look at each other. Whoa, that's scary. But I challenge you to do it and sing it and look at each other. And if you forget the signing and get it wrong, whatever, it doesn't matter. What's important is actually that we speak Jesus, we speak the Father into each and every life in this place. Because he loves us so much. And he wants us to take this love and he wants to share it wherever. Because that's what he wants us to do. Why does he choose me? I don't know. Why does he choose you? I don't know. But he says, I want you to do it. I want you to do it. So go and do it. The Father himself loves you. 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 May God bless you. May he keep you. May he help you to take his love wherever he wants it taken. And may you do that in a spirit of humility, but in a sense that, you know, it's not just about you. It's about whoever we come into contact with. And what does it say there? Thank you. Together, we can make a difference. When I started working with Tony 12 years ago, there were two of us part-time and Tony full-time. There are now six people part-time across the UK, and there's two of us full-time. God knows what he's up to, but we still haven't got enough people. If every one of us together took this message of love to whoever, boy, would it make a difference. Thank you.